Welcome to The Hunt. Good afternoon. Welcome back to Huntcast Podcast. Greg and Doug here, April 21st with episode number 9. And we got a lot on the list today.
Yeah, we do.
We're both tired. My legs hurt.
Yeah.
We just got back from flagging last and final course for Archery Fest at Montage Mountain, May 17th through the 19th. And that was the expert course.
Yeah.
White Lightning.
That's a tough one.
Yeah.
Yeah. We literally just got back,
mm-hmm.
got out of the truck and sat down and put the headphones on. Here we are.
Correct. True story. My shirt's still kind of sticking to me.
Yeah.
So for those of you that listened to the podcast and were at the shoot last year, you are in for one heck of a course with White Lightning.
Yeah.
We had two shots that were the same, right?
Yes.
The bottom two, the final two when you get to the lift.
Not the same shot, but same location.
Same location.
Yeah.
And we did utilize one set of piece, two rebar pieces that we could not get out last year. You're just shooting it from a different side.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But everybody asked and asked and asked and said they wanted further shots.
You got it.
They're going to get them.
Careful what you wish for.
That's right. Especially when it's us. We're like genies. You rub the bottle and we come out and we're like, yeah, we got this.
Yeah.
So it's definitely a lot different than it was last year. Terrain, the beginning isn't too bad. The middle is the killer.
Yeah, the middle is the killer.
Yep. Yeah. So we're...
Bring your hiking boots.
Yeah, bring the boots for sure.
Yeah.
It's not a lot of uphills. It's like one section, but that one section, you're going to be roasted when you get to the next target.
Yeah.
But everything else was pretty much like zigzagged and... Across the slope and then downhill the rest of the way after that uphill.
Yes.
So nothing crazy horrible.
No, don't want to scare anybody.
Right. Yeah.
Just be prepared.
Yeah, be prepared. It is the expert course, so the terrain matches the course for sure.
Yeah.
What do you think your favorite shot is that we set today?
What's my favorite shot? There's so many good ones. I like the Bigfoot, the Yeti.
Yep. That's not the Yeti. Sasquatch.
Sasquatch. Yeah.
We do have a Yeti, but that's on the beginner course. So,
okay. Yeah, so it's the full-size Sasquatch.
Yeah, this guy's like 6'6", 6'7"-ish.
Yeah.
A little taller than me.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a good shot.
That's a good shot. I like that one. There's actually the one, well, hopefully it works out with the snow, because there's still snow on that.
Yeah.
On that course.
On the bottom half of the mountain,
because
obviously it sits below normal.
Yeah.
Where the sun would hit it all day long. So there is some snow and it's a good possibility just to be there in 3 weeks.
Yeah, because it was, some of those sections today were 3 feet deep.
Yeah.
So, and there's no sun on it. So there's a good possibility that the snow will be there. So that might make for a nice shot with, you know, something that kind of falls into that snow kind of category, you know, sheep or
and that was the
snow leopard.
You're talking about that uphill shot or the downhill shot. The downhill shot.
Yeah, the downhill. So that's another one of my favorites.
I think I like the one Mikey picked out with the little group of trees, that real short one we did.
Yep.
That's going to definitely be one of my favorites, but...
Yeah, that's a real short one. It's only, I think, 19 yards.
Yeah.
But it's difficult.
Yeah, you're going to be... Hope you brought your precision with you for that weekend.
Yeah.
Other than that, there's a few that were longer with a lot of, you know, stuff in the way, and I don't want to say threading the needle because there was some of them that were wide open, but the Bigfoot, Sasquatch, definitely a good one.
Yeah.
And then we're still in the middle of researching, but obviously if you know Doug and I, we don't think very small on small scale. So there is one shot we're going to see how we can get it verified, but we are trying for the longest shot in a recreational 3D archery fest.
Yeah.
We're not going to tell you what that is right now. You can do some research too.
But to our knowledge
right now, we're
this
we're
is the 4 longest yards shot.
4 yards over what the longest one was.
So this will be the longest shot in North America.
Yep. So
make
sure you got your tape, real light arrows.
Yep.
It'll help get there quicker.
Yeah.
But we did give you a nice backstop, so hopefully you won't lose any arrows.
Yes.
If you do miss the target.
Yeah.
You might have to dig them out of some grass, but you'll find them, hopefully.
Yeah, they'll be there.
But I'm trying to think what else. I mean, obviously we walked it today and it was colder today. So we're hoping that the temperature is a little bit better.
Yeah.
The weekend of the shoot.
Yeah. It was in the 30s this morning when we first got there, but it warmed up pretty good. Well, after climbing back up the hill, well, up the mountain, it was plenty warm. So
yeah, it wasn't real cold when we were coming back out to the trucks.
Yeah. Yeah.
But no, that, so for, again, if you shot the course last year, you kind of remember the way it went. We're utilizing a slope that I think we only had one target on last year. We probably have two or three shots on that.
Yeah.
And you're going to use the whole bottom half of the mountain. That's for sure. You're going start to finish all the way from one side to the other.
Yeah.
And back. So,
and if you were there last year, we've eliminated the last five shots.
Yeah.
So once you got off the lift last year, mm-hmm. you had to walk down for the final five.
Yep.
And we've eliminated that. So.
Correct. So yeah, all 25 lead you right to the lift.
Yes.
So you'll be a nice relaxing chair ride back.
Yeah.
Come down into Vendor Village, grab something to eat and
yep.
check out the vendors and then head out to your next course.
Yeah, that's it.
But so speaking of the shoot, we've been super busy with vendors, sponsors, novelty prizes, you name it. So might as well jump into that a little bit before. So if you listened last week, we did tuning part one. We'll get to tuning part two later on in the episode. But because the shoot is literally 3 weeks away, we figure we'll stick with some news from that.
Yeah.
So novelty shots were kind of, I don't want to say goofy last year, but it was, you know, our first year and we didn't have a whole lot of room because of Yoga Fest. And this year we have a lot of room. We have the whole mountain to ourselves.
Yeah.
So we have a whole kind of area set up for all the novelty shots now. So we'll start with Rugged Road Coolers, which is one of the vendors, and they make some awesome coolers, super lightweight, floats upright in water, full of ice and drinks. So you can, you know, tag along with a tubing down the river or whatever you're doing.
Yeah.
But also big enough to hold meat on a hunt.
Yep.
And they were nice enough to donate some coolers to use as water stations on the courses. And what we're going to do is those coolers are going to be used as giveaways. So we're going to have those as one of the novelty shot prizes. And we have a couple different novelty shots.
Yeah.
So this year we have the big High Tines Arrow Smasher.
Yep.
We have the truck shoot, which we'll get into in a second.
Yep.
We have another shoot that is courtesy of our newfound friends, High Desert Ranch and Outfitting out in Colorado. Randy and Cheyenne are flying in and giving away an elk hunt.
Yep. You yeah. heard that correctly.
Yes. 100%.
Yep.
Units 13 and 441.
Yes.
Yes.
OTC.
OTC, over the counter.
So it's guaranteed for this year.
Yep. So this is like a big to-do. They have a lot of land.
Yeah.
It was, what did you say it was? 10,000 acres?
I believe so, yeah.
So it's a huge, you know, that's a huge hunt. What was the prices on, do you remember, did you see the prices?
I did not.
I know when I talked to Randy and Cheyenne the other night on the phone, you're close to $10,000 for this hunt. So
yeah,
this is a huge, huge, huge giveaway. And we're super ecstatic that they're going to be there, that they're flying in and want to be part of it. And we're going to let them decide how the shot gets set up. So this is, we're providing the target and they're going to figure out what they want to do and when they get here.
Yeah, this is their baby. So. Yep.
So when you're giving away that kind of money,
yeah,
like can't say no.
That's,
and that obviously it's their livelihood. So that's, you know, that's a big chunk of money that they're, you know, not selling the hunt and getting that money for. So, so that'll be really cool to be in Vendor Village. So I know they have some decent amount of archery openings right now. So if you don't win the hunt, you can hopefully book something with them.
Yeah.
And, you know, learn more about them, especially if you, you know, end up winning the hunt. Because the way it sounded when I talked to them, they didn't want to make it like an impossible shot. Like they wanted somebody to win it.
So yeah, right. Well, it makes sense.
Yep, obviously. Yeah.
They're not flying out here, you know.
Right, right.
To go home empty-handed. Yeah,
exactly.
So they want to bring somebody home with them.
Yep,
so,
yep.
Yeah.
I had my Zambies on today. We have a $500 pair of Zamberlins.
Yep.
And you get to pick and choose. Was there like six or seven styles on
yeah,
that sheet?
Yeah, probably, yeah.
So basically, that'll be part of either our arrow smashing novelty shot, but Doug came up with an idea on the way home from the mountain today. And I like being weird.
Yeah.
So we might try that and see how it works. And we'll put a couple of the bigger prizes in on that shoot as well. But we have to figure out if it works first. We're not just going to throw it out there.
Yeah. But that's a $500 pair of boots.
Yep.
So
yep.
That's a nice prize.
And, you know, if you ask a lot of the guys that do a lot of Western hunting, you know, Zamberlin is definitely a name that pops up for Western hunting boots.
Yeah.
Along with, you know, obviously Crispies and Kennetrex and all that stuff. But I love my Zambies. I have two pair. And for me, I just think they fit better than a Crispy does. But we'll see.
Yeah.
What's next? What was the other one?
What else we got? Truck shoot. Yep. Oh, and then there's also the fly fishing trip.
Yep. Ronnie Chiavacci. Yep. Going to donate a fly fishing trip on the Delaware. So that's a fun prize.
Yeah.
And if you're, you know, whether you're in New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, it's relatively close. It's not a horrible drive.
Yeah.
And depends on what trip it is, because he does trout, bass, and walleye. So depending on the time of the year, that'll kind of tell you what river, what branch of the river you're fishing. But Ronnie will get with you on all that, whoever wins that trip.
Yeah.
And, yep, Iden GMC. It's a leftover 23 model crew cab. I believe it's the same Cardinal red that my truck is.
Okay.
He just told me red the other day on the phone. So I don't think they make a bright red one in this year. So it's got to be the Cardinal.
Yeah, there's no fire engine red. So
that'll be similar to last year. We have to follow insurance policy guidelines because obviously we have to insure the truck because of the cost. So you'll have, again, this will actually be the same. I did verify this with Randy and Cheyenne. So this will be the same for the elk hunt giveaway as the truck. There'll be a qualifier every day.
Right.
And then the finalists will shoot on Sunday for the truck.
Right.
So just keep that in mind if you're not signed up for all 3 days, that if you end up as the finalist, you have to be there on Sunday to shoot.
Yeah.
And then same thing for the elk hunt. So it'll be the final three. So that'll be really cool. We'll do both of those shoots basically at the same time, or, you know, within minutes of each other. We'll shoot the elk hunt first and then we'll do the truck. So everybody will be able to see it because of where the novelty shots will be in Vendor Village this year. You could see it and watch it. And
yeah, that's definitely an upgrade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's plenty of room in Vendor Village. The key is pay attention to where you're walking because the lazy river is right there.
Yeah.
So you don't want to fall in the lazy river. The water park at the mountain does open the following week. So I'm sure they will have it running, but it will not be open. So I'm sure there'll be water in there. So just pay attention.
Which is actually better.
Yeah.
Because if you're going to fall, at least you're going to fall into the water as opposed to falling on the concrete. Yeah. So
true.
Yeah.
True. But yeah, so like, it's going to be crazy this year with Vendor Village for the amount of vendors we have coming.
Yeah.
And we're trying to figure out, we actually found a spot today after that nice little uphill walk that we're going to try to find another sponsor.
Yep.
That would be keen to having a tent in that crossroad section so that you could take a little break.
Yeah, kind of mid-course.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's literally targets 12 and 13, so it's right in the middle.
Yeah.
And, you know, catch your breath, maybe grab a water.
Right, sit down for a minute.
Yep.
Yeah.
Relax. And that's right after the Sasquatch, right?
That is right before.
After.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah. You'll shoot the Sasquatch.
Pull your arrows,
and then you're going to walk over.
Yeah. So that's next on the list of calls that we have to make this week.
Yeah.
But, well, we got all the that's not all the novelty shot prizes. Those are the big prizes.
Right.
We'll have some other prizes.
Smaller stuff.
Yeah. There will be a bow at some point. We're trying to figure that part out right now. But yeah, we have lots of other stuff. The XOP, you know, tree stand, XOP saddle kits.
Yeah. That's not a slouch. That's a pretty good prize.
Yeah. Yeah. I was kind of just going off above $500-$600 prizes.
Right. Right.
But yeah, so it's, you know, we had a couple come into the shop yesterday, bought their first bows, and they were actually registered for the shoot before they came in and bought the bow.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Obviously shooting beginner and intermediate.
Yeah.
But actually once we got them dialed in a little bit and I gave them some tips on form yesterday, they might be able to, you know, probably not shoot from the advanced stake, but go out on the advanced course and take some shots a little closer.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's going to be crazy. And we will post a picture on our Facebook and Instagram of that long range, like bazooka shot.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even call it. It's definitely more than a bomb.
Yeah.
You're starting to get into missile range.
Yeah. Yeah.
But hey, if other festivals can do it, we could do it too.
This is expert, so.
Yeah. Light arrows, that's all I can tell you. Light arrows.
Yeah, light arrows.
Like, right at the cusp of safe.
Yeah.
To shoot out of your bow would definitely be the key.
Yeah.
But no, it'll be interesting. And, you know, again, our courses are not, if you don't feel comfortable shooting at the stake, walk up. We're not going to tell you you can't do that.
Right.
You know, we don't want to see anybody not have fun. So.
Or pass, right?
Right.
If it's one shot, you're like, you know what? I'm not going to make that.
Right.
I'm not going to blow up an arrow. Just pass and just keep going. Mm-hmm. Go to the next one.
Yep.
So, which is nice, you know, when you're paying one price.
Right.
From multiple courses.
Yep.
You know, if you shoot, the intermediate, and then you decide to go to advanced,
mm-hmm.
you know, even if you're just on the cusp of, you know, of being an advanced shooter,
right?
Yeah, you walk the course and, you know, you can pick and choose. If you don't want to shoot that one, go ahead, skip it. Go to the next one. No big deal.
Absolutely.
Basically, it's a freebie at that point because, you know, you already paid your one price. So, just skip it and move on to one that you're more comfortable with.
100%. And that's why we do the courses and the setup the way we do. So, yes, you do have to take a knock time in the morning to pick the course you're going to shoot in the morning. And that's just to keep the flow of traffic. But after that, you know, it's not like where you have to pick another time in the afternoon to get on the course. You go to the course you want to shoot and wait in line at the first stake and go out.
Right.
We had a lot of shooters last year that met people and, hey, well, how many are you? Oh, there's three. Can I jump in? Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, now they're shooting together again this year because they had fun last year. So.
Right. And, you know, honestly, what did we spend, about 4 hours on the mountain this morning setting up?
Three and a half, really.
So, you know, if you're shooting, it's going to go quicker.
Yep.
So if you have an early knock time,
mm-hmm.
you know, you'll be done before noon.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And, you know, you can get something to eat and then get back out on the course and shoot another course, you know, in the afternoon. So, yeah, you can definitely get at least two courses in.
For sure. For sure. And like,
if you're early enough, you could probably do three.
Right. Yeah. If you have like a super early knock time, you know, 8:10, 8:15, you can definitely shoot three courses.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Like, it took us 3.5 hours.
And we walked back up.
We walked back up. But not only that, we were, you know, we're stopping and looking and
glassing.
Can we put this here? Can we do this here?
Yeah.
So, you know, you're basically just walking up to what we already have set. You're going to shoot your arrow and go get it and move to the next one. So,
yeah,
definitely a lot quicker. 25 targets probably take 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say so. For sure. Yep. So if you're in a bigger group and you're going to, you know, talking and kind of playing around a little bit, it might be 3 hours.
Sure.
But still, if you have an 8 o'clock knock time, you're done by 11.
Yeah.
Get something to eat and you're back. You could be back on the course by, you know, 1 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And the key for us, you know, we do a safety sweep before we call the lifts to be shut down.
Yeah.
And so if we see people, especially on the expert course, it's a little different because you're shooting down to the lift, where on the upper courses, you're taking the lift up before you shoot. So we can cut that one quick because that's just nobody going up the mountain.
Right. We know who's up there because they're on the lift.
But obviously going down, you know, we do a big sweep to make sure, okay, hey, there's, you know, 10 more shooters on the course.
Right.
So we keep that lift running until you guys get on that lift.
Right. And like with the intermediate and the beginner, you know, you can shoot right up until 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
Ride it up.
Mm-hmm.
They shut the lift down at 4. You've got some time to work your way down.
Yeah.
So... yeah, you can get on there late, as opposed to the advance where you've got to be on that lift heading back to Vendor Village by 4 o'clock.
Right.
So that's the difference. So definitely, if you are going to shoot the expert, definitely shoot that first.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Or if you're shooting advance in the morning, go to the expert course like right after.
Yes.
So that way it gives you the ability to shoot down and get to the lift.
Yeah.
But yeah, so like I said, we do a sweep and it's not like at 4 o'clock, everybody leaves. We're there till, you know,
dark.
7, 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
Wrapping stuff up, you know, packing stuff up for the next day and getting ready. So yeah, don't be like, oh my God, I'll never get out of here. They're going to lock me in. No, you'll be fine. And like I said, worst case scenario, if we did shut the lift down, we have enough side by sides. We'd come down and pick somebody up.
But then we're going to put you to work.
Yeah, right. You're going to work. Yeah, you're definitely working after that.
Yeah.
So we talked about novelty shots. We talked about the expert course. So let's run through some of the targets that you're going to see out on these courses.
Yeah.
So the way we have it set up, so Big Shot Delta McKenzie is our target sponsor. They were there last year. They're going to be there all weekend again this year. All of the targets that are on the mountain are for sale, along with whatever Al or Brandon or whoever Ben comes up from the factory, and we'll have them in Vendor Village for sale. So Doug, why don't you burn through beginner intermediate there?
Okay. So
now, these are not in order. This is just the targets that will be on this course.
Right. So we're going to have a baby daddy muley.
Yep.
Is a baby daddy buck. The Hoosier daddy. The big daddy buck. The T-Rex. Is a dragon.
Dragon.
Which that's new. I don't think we had a dragon last year.
We didn't have the dragon or the T-Rex last year.
Okay. So T-Rex and a dragon. A woodchuck. The fox. The alert turkey. The walking brown bear, which that was on the expert last year, wasn't it?
So
no, that was on advanced.
This is a mix. Beginner intermediate is a mix of big shot and delta.
Yeah.
So the walking brown bear that is the one.
Is
that
it
was
a delta?
That is the delta.
Okay. Yep.
So that's the smaller one that was on the expert course last year, but it is not there this year.
Okay. Then we've got the javelina. We've got a 1/3 muley, which is the smaller scaled down
version. Yeah, like backyard series, they call it.
Yeah, it's the 1/3, so kind of small. Challenger. I don't even know what that is.
Challenger.
I don't know what that is.
Oh, it's a buck. He's got like his head down like he's getting ready to fight.
Oh, okay. So it's a challenger buck. Okay, gotcha. I don't know what
Doug,
that is.
Doug's trying to read my writing.
Yeah.
Chicken. That is the Aimright bear.
Aimright. Okay.
So that's got the big square where the vitals would be.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And then the last, there's more on the other side of that page, too.
Okay. Then we've got the imp, which we had that last year, right?
Nope.
We didn't have an imp?
Mm-mm.
You're
thinking of the snake eater that was from Kirsch.
Oh, yes. That's right. Yeah. A goblin. That's a new one.
Mm-hmm.
Then we've got the howling coyote. We had that last year. That's a real cool target. Then we have a strutting turkey. And then we've got Big Shot has the armadillo, a raccoon, a bobcat.
That's that real tiny, tiny. Remember the cat that we had on the beginning of course? It was in the middle of the road.
Yes.
That's what that one is.
Oh,
that's a real tiny one.
Okay.
We got another bobcat, another armadillo. So, so just to mix them in because we needed 25.
Oh,
and
I
because
gotcha.
I was mixing the brands.
Yeah, yeah.
I was running out of stuff.
All right, cool. So, some new ones, which is kind of cool.
Yep.
So.
And now, so on the advanced course.
Yeah. This is all Delta, right?
Nope. So this is all Big Shot.
Oh, this is all Big Shot. Okay. So this is on the advanced, we've got an antelope. We have an axis deer. We have a browsing buck, a walking bear, strutting turkey, a walking turkey. Actually, two of each is two strutters and two walking. There's a gray coyote. There's a raccoon. There's a groundhog, armadillo, and I can't even read your... Is that a skunk?
Skunk. It's not that bad. Come on.
It's not bad. So this is a skunk and a yeti.
Yep. And so, then flip it. There should be more on the other side. Okay. Oh, so that's the one. Yep. So they had some targets that were left over from GAOS.
Okay.
So the other 11 or 12 in that course will be targets that are coming from there. So I think there might be another axis deer. I think there's a caribou.
Okay.
It's some of those might be deltas, but the ones we just read off are all Big Shot targets.
Right. Okay. And then the expert course.
Yep.
This will all be delta.
This is all delta, correct.
Yeah. So the grizzly is going to be on the expert. The grazing doe.
Yep.
The mule deer, antelope, the wild boar, the wolf, mountain lion, another coyote, lynx, strutting turkey, a wolverine. Okay. And then now this one, the chamoy that we had two last year, right?
Nope. We had one. And that was the one that was in the crotch of the tree at 50 something yards.
What were the two?
Those are mouflons from Kirsch.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. That's what I was thinking about. Caribou. And I don't know. What is this?
A blessed buck.
What is that?
They're in Africa.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I don't know what that is.
I think they're in Africa anyway.
Okay.
It's a weird-looking buck. He's got weird antlers on him.
Okay. All right. And then there's also a panther.
Yep.
And a black buck.
And flip it. More on the other side.
And then there's also a a leopard, hyena, alligator, which is really cool from last year.
And that shot, so that shot on that one, you guys might all hate me after that one. But
the alligator?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's over the culvert pipe.
Yes. That's a cool shot, though.
It is a cool shot. Yeah. It's just you don't want to miss because it's going to be sitting on a flat, giant piece of rock.
Yeah. Yeah, you're going to blow your arrow.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't miss. Then there's a bighorn sheep, elk, there's an impala, then there's a medium black bear, a warthog, which we had last year, right?
Nope. That was, so the ones you're thinking of were all from Kirsch, So that was a female boar with piglets.
Okay. Yeah. And then the Bigfoot.
Yep.
Yeah.
So the Bigfoot, they did an awesome job with that thing. I can't wait to put it out there. Where it's going to be, you guys are going to be like, oh my God.
Yeah, don't miss that one either.
Yeah. If you even miss that one, you're going to be in trouble.
Yeah.
There was a lot of shots that we did this year that if they were close, they're super, super technical.
Yeah.
And then we gave you some open 60, 70, 80 yarders.
Yep.
There's a couple that are through the trees, nothing crazy, crazy. But then as we, you know.
And we've got more bombs this year.
Oh, by far.
Yeah. We only had, last year we had.
The bison.
Bison was a bomb. That was 105 or so. Yeah, 105, okay.
The elk was 78 or something, or 88.
But we've got multiple shots this year that are triple digits.
Yep.
So, yeah, we've got, I think, three real super long bombs.
Yeah.
Right.
For sure. So we have, let me think here. One, two. I think we have four.
Is there four?
I think there's four.
Okay.
We were going to try to do more, but we needed to conserve space to get the rest of the targets
in.
And obviously, because the weird part, so for those of you that are familiar with Montage, if you look at the mountain and look on a map, like on Spartan Forge and put the property boundaries in, there's a lot of county land around it.
Yeah.
And we have to be careful not to cross over into that.
Yeah.
So that's with the expert, because the far side, those two, where like the long shot is, that will slope there. If we go too far into the woods on any shot there, we're crossing property lines. So we don't want to do that. We gave you some realistic, you know.
A lot of realistic stuff.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm hoping the snow sticks around.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that's, you know, the sheep or something, you know, kind of that snow setting would be really cool.
Yep.
So
and
hopefully.
There's two seated shots?
There are two.
Two seated shots.
One on the rock. Record.
Yep.
No, I'm sorry. There's three. Isn't there three?
I know there's the one that I set.
Yep.
The one that you and Joe set.
Yep.
Where was the third one?
I think the one, one of the last ones, well, that's actually the one you set. One of the last ones where the buck was last year, we shot down the slope.
Yeah, that's the one I set, yeah.
That's the seated. The one up fairly early on the course, that's a seated.
Oh, that's right.
The one I sat on the log, sat, and there's a tree behind you, almost you can almost lean back on it.
Yeah, yep.
It's a fairly close shot, but it's really technical.
Yeah.
That's two. Maybe that's it.
Yeah. I think it's just
two. You know what? There's one shot. There is one shot that a lot of guys are going to do from their knees.
Yeah.
Unless you're, you know, vertically challenged like me and you can stay in there. But there are some guys, some of the taller guys are going to want to get down on one knee probably to take that shot.
Take the shot.
So, yeah, maybe there's two seated shots and maybe one kneeling shot.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, yeah.
But I think we mentioned it last week. So we do have a Paul Bunyan Award this year. So a lot of the courses have trees in play pretty heavily.
Yeah.
Because we, not that we want you to break arrows, but we are, you know, lose an arrow to a tree. But this, I've seen what this award is going to look like. And actually, I don't even think I showed it to Doug, but I can show it to him while we're talking here. So we have one of our Joad kids, his brother has a 3D printer and is printing these for us. And it is like just the coolest thing.
Oh, wow.
So
really cool.
You got the little notch. We got the axe. He even made a 2-piece axe, like a true, like you were putting a blacksmith to work.
Yeah. Really cool.
And it'll all be painted the correct color.
Yep.
So, and then it'll be on a base and it'll say Paul Bunyan. So basically the way that'll work is you're going to come over with any pictures of your arrow sticking out of a tree.
Yeah.
The goal would be to leave the arrow in the tree and we will snap them off because we would like to collect them all. So if not, we get it. You're going to, you know, if you want to pull it or snap it off, whatever.
Yeah.
But the cool part would be for us to go out at the end of the shoot and pull all the arrows out of
collect
the tree
them all. Yeah.
And make our big arrow dump. But so you're basically going to take a picture of your arrow sticking out of the tree. You're going to bring them to the High Tines booth. And we will put your name in the book and how many pictures it was. And we'll kind of put stars next to everybody that we think is like, wow, that's a really good one. And then somebody will get this trophy.
Yeah.
And then once we have I have a photo of the other trophy for Broken Arrow Challenge, that you will need to come over and sign up because we're going to mark your arrows.
Yeah.
So when they come back in pieces, we'll know that you broke them and then we'll tally up who has the most and somebody's going to win that award.
Yeah.
And the cool part is it's going to hold one of your arrows that's broken. So
yeah,
that'll be a fun one to hand out.
A little memento.
Yep.
Yeah.
Take that home and show it to mom. Be proud.
Yeah. And you know, the one thing I want to say too is now that everything is done, right? All the courses are laid out.
Except the competition course, but that's easy.
But what I like about it this year is there's a lot of different elements as far as terrain.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have steep rock slopes. You're going to have some thick timber you're going to be shooting through. This year we've added river bottom.
Mm-hmm.
So now there's a section of course where you're going through river bottom. There's going to be some, wide open meadows. So you're kind of covering everything.
Yep.
You know, you're going to be on the first one section of course and you're going to think you're out in Colorado.
Yeah,
and
100%.
Then there's another section of the course where you're going to be on the river bottom and you're going to be, you know, this is like, you know, Eastern United States, PA, New York, and, you know, you're hunting thick timber in a river bottom. So then there's open meadows, you know, where you could be out in Kansas and you're shooting wide open meadows. And so it's really, you know, we've covered it all.
And that's pretty much there. With the exception of the river bottom, because obviously on the top of the mountain, there is no river.
Yeah.
But we really did it. You know, try to make everything as realistic as possible on every course.
Yeah.
So once all the targets are here, we actually have to go pick them up here in a week. And what we will do is similar to what we did last year is we'll kind of walk through in our minds each shot and we'll start labeling some of the targets on where they're going to be.
Right.
And that way when we go to set them, it's easy and then we'll kind of fill in the gaps. But
plus the animal kind of fit the terrain.
Right.
You know, you're not going to have an alligator out in an open meadow.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so.
Well, I mean, if you're in Florida on a golf course, it's possible, but
yeah.
But yeah, so no, it is, every course has, you know, the realistic feel, and that's the goal with a lot of the animals. That why they were chosen was to, you know, fulfill the reality of it.
Yeah.
That you're not just like, with the exception of obviously a dragon and a T-Rex and stuff like that, but those are just fun to shoot at.
Yeah.
And that's why they're in the beginner course and not out on, you know, the expert course.
Right.
But yeah, I think, you know, this year, every single course is done differently and there's still multiple other ways that we can do them.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've already, just as we're walking and putting up flags and I'm pinning stuff on Spartan Forge while these guys are, you know, tying ribbons to trees and sticking flags in the ground, I'm already looking ahead to 2025 because I think I already have an idea how we're going to do it next year. So, you know, it'll be another big change up from what it is right now.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, there's a lot of room there. So we
can absolutely
change it up every year.
Yep.
We'll have to recycle shots and, you know, for a
couple of years, at least
4, 5, 6 years maybe. So yeah, that's the one nice thing about it. Mm-hmm. A lot of different opportunities there. So.
And I think we have a selfie station on every.
Yeah. There's two for sure on the expert.
Yep.
So
yeah, the one is early, real quick.
Yes,
the second one,
pretty much first shot, right? Second shot.
As soon as you pull your second arrows and you come out from the second arrows.
Yeah.
So again, if you remember from last year, your second shot was overlooking the number 5 dam, which is at the bottom of the mountain.
Yeah.
And you know, you could see the lake and you could see the shops and the baseball stadium and all that stuff.
That was the bison.
That was the bison shot. That was shot number 2 last year.
Yeah.
We give you that same view, but you're like target 19 or 18 or something like that.
Yeah.
It's a ways away, but it's the second right as soon as you're done pulling your second shot arrows, you're going to pop out and there's another one right there. And I think there was another one before that. They're in between those two.
Yeah. There's definitely two.
Yeah.
I think where the snow was.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. That was the first one, right?
No, I thought the first one was the open meadow, like where the bison was last year.
No, because that's not until way far on.
Yeah. It could be. It could have been early.
So I know it's right after your second shot, and then I think there's one like midway target 11-ish, 10-ish, yeah, somewhere in there. And then obviously, once again, when you get over to 18, I think it's 18 or 19, it's right before the long bomb.
Yeah.
And we didn't really, I don't think there's anything that was really wide open except for that real long shot.
Yeah.
Maybe shot number one isn't horribly wide open. It's open, but it's not.
It's a bomb though.
Yeah. Yeah. We didn't screw around. We just gave you, hey, you guys want to shoot expert? Cool. Here you go.
Yeah. That's there. There's no warm up.
Yeah.
The first one is a bomb.
Yeah. So make sure you're on the practice range before your knock time.
No doubt. Yeah.
There's the one going towards the creek that was kind of long. What was that? Like the one that where the we moved it up a little bit before you bend around the corner of the woods.
Yeah.
And that's, it's wide open for arrow flight, but where the target is not so wide open.
Right. Yeah.
Not like we stuck a tree right in front of it, but
there's a little junk around.
Yeah, make sure you're aiming at the target.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we're super excited, and it's, you know, we're sorry we're taking forever to get through this. It's just, we're tired.
Yeah.
Nobody fell today, though. That was a good thing.
No.
I was sweating pretty good.
Yeah. Oh, but, and big thanks to Mike.
Yep, Mike and Joe. Joe was out with us the first three courses, and he came back out with us today. It was his wife's birthday today. He didn't tell me.
Oh, yeah?
That.
He didn't say that.
Yeah,
no.
That's why he had to leave in a hurry, because he's like, I better get home.
Yeah.
So yeah, Mikey B and Joe W.
Yep.
Appreciate the help for sure. And I guess we'll talk more about shooting next weekend. Because I'm sure we'll have something that pops up this week.
I'm sure, yeah. Now by next week, we should be finalizing everything. Everything should be pretty much etched in stone as far as the vendors and, you know, all the final signups for vending. And we should have all the novelty shots kind of figured out by then. So
we got to find a piece of PVC.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm hinting.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we're going to have a lot of extra volunteer hands this year.
Yep.
The boys that we helped out up at Stonehead said, hey, if you need us, give us a call. So I'm probably going to take them up on that.
Absolutely.
Lots of family members coming in to help out.
Yep.
So with the novelty shots this year being in, not that they're not in Vendor Village, but not quite where the booth is, we're probably going to have to, you know, we'll have somebody manned over there to collect money.
Yep.
And if you're going to do a novelty shot, try to bring cash. Makes life a lot easier on our end.
Yeah.
And this way you're not running back and forth through Vendor Village to come over and use our computer to do a credit card. But worst case scenario, if you have to, that's what we can do.
I'm thinking too, don't quote me on this, but I'm assuming that right there in the lodge is probably an ATM.
I believe there is.
So
yes,
there is an ATM on site. So if you don't have cash on you, you can run inside. Because we are, like this year, we are going to have access to the lodge.
Yes.
So
we'll have restrooms in the lodge and also very similar to the Rent-A-Johns that we had last year.
Yeah.
We'll also be up there.
Yeah. But you can run into the ATM and grab some cash if you have to.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's exciting. It's getting real close.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, looking forward to it. So.
So real quick, I'm going to run through a couple of events that we have coming up at the shop. So this coming Saturday, the 27th, we will be down at Riverfront Sports Complex here in Scranton for their wellness expo. My wife and probably my sister will be manning the booth down there talking about archery. Yep. And the 3rd and 4th, we were asked by our good friends over at Camp Freedom to give them a hand. Normally, I wouldn't do it because of certain things that they can't control. But because we're super good friends with Camp Freedom and we want to be able to show them support because they show us support,
yeah,
we will be at Camp Freedom May the 3rd. We will not be there on the 4th, unfortunately. We were supposed to be there both days, but I have another scheduled event that I didn't realize was that weekend. So yeah. I have to be at that on a Sunday.
And I'll be on a flight.
And yeah, Doug will be on his way to Mexico.
Yes.
So if there's a recorded podcast, it might just be me, or we might just wait until the following weekend.
Yeah.
We'll see. But then we're going into setting up for Archery Fest. So
yeah,
we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, it's going to be busy.
We will be recording, however, at Archery Fest. So you're going to get to hear from basically all the vendors for a brief amount of time. And then they'll all be invited back on like an hour ordeal just on each vendor to kind of get us through the rest of summer before hunting season rolls around.
Yeah. Which is kind of cool.
Yep.
So they will dedicate one whole episode to them and let them, you know, push their product and get some feedback and how things went at the shoot. So yeah, that'd be cool.
Some are return vendors and some are brand new.
Right.
So, and then, yeah, we'll be going right into Archery Fest from there. So
yeah.
With that said, we started tuning part one last week. Now we're going to do part two.
Kind of pick up where we left off, right?
Yep.
So
give them the basics we gave them last week.
Yeah. So I think where we kind of left off was, you know, work off of the specs that the manufacturer sets for the bow. So, you know, set your rest at, typically it's 13/16ths, you know, most manufacturers, 13/16ths, maybe 7/8ths.
But, 7/8ths rolls around on a couple bows, but not many.
But typically it's 13/16ths. Start there, you know, set your D loop where your arrow is nice and level, and now your shooting spec.
Right.
So, and I did mention it last week, and I'm going to say it again because it's very important. You've got to be tuning with the correct arrow.
Yes.
So,
which we're going to get into a little bit today.
Yeah. You've got, that is super important, because you're just kind of wasting your time. If you go through a whole tuning process and you don't have the correct arrow,
right,
it's never going to work.
No.
So that's really important. And it's, you have to do a little thinking ahead. You know, you've got to kind of figure out what you're going to be shooting. You know, what grain head you're going to shoot, and really figure it out before you even buy the arrow.
Right.
You know, you have to have an end game. You have to have a game plan and say, okay, I want to shoot X amount of grains.
Yeah.
So that will determine which spine you're going to choose.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and it changes. So that's the key there, is it's depending on what you're going to do with the bow. Are you shooting just paper and just foam, or is it a hunting arrow?
Right.
Because that will change everything drastically.
Yeah.
The single biggest takeaway from last week is you must be the person that is shooting it through the paper.
Yes.
It cannot be the bow tech at the shop. It cannot be your buddy. It has to be you.
Yeah.
So that was last week. So now tuning part two, I guess we'll jump right into the arrow since Doug just mentioned it. So this literally just happened yesterday. Guy came in. Told me, you know, he didn't buy the bow from us, said he came in, needed some arrows. The guy at the other shop told him he needed 400 spine arrows. So I always ask, just to be safe, what poundage are you shooting on the bow? He's shooting a 65-pound draw weight. 400 is going to be on the weak side for a 65-pound bow.
What's his draw length?
He's 28-inch.
Okay.
So most arrow charts, most every arrow brand out there has an arrow chart. It's not a definitive answer.
No, it's a starting point.
Right.
Yeah.
Gives you an idea.
Yep.
So for him, I shoot 28.5. I shoot 65 pounds. I know I shoot and need a 340 spine in order to get a better tune. Could we have tuned it with a 400? Maybe. But also knowing the bow that it was, I wasn't going to do that because it would just be hell trying to get it figured out.
Yeah.
So I said, I have two arrows set up here. We'll shoot one in 400, one in 340, and we'll see which one gives us the best result. Unfortunately, neither one gave us a good result because... And this was going to be the next topic, but I wanted to bring up the arrows first because you just mentioned it.
Yeah.
So what a lot of people don't realize, and this is why draw boards are so important. It's not just to check draw length. It's not just to check draw weight. It's to check the timing on a bow.
Absolutely.
So his bottom cam was about a half inch out of time from his top cam.
And just for guys that don't know what timing is making sure those cams are rotating identically. Mm-hmm. They've got to roll at the same exact time. So the string is kind of coming off of the cam at the same point on both cams, right? So very important. Timing has got to be dead on.
So the biggest thing to look for, if you are going shoot paper the first time to get an idea of where the bow is, you're in spec, you're at center shot, and you have at least close to the right arrow. If you are getting a ginormous vertical tear, in other words, your knock is either high or low, the first thing to look at is the timing.
Yeah.
So that's exactly what happened. We had a 6-inch tear that was perfectly straight up and down.
That's actually easy to fix.
Yes.
That's one of the easier ones, right? So,
well, depending on the bow.
Yeah.
So a lot of times it might just be your let off that needs to be changed. It could be your draw stop is in the wrong spot.
Yep.
In this case, this was a mission switch.
Okay.
So there's no mod. There's a mod, but that's only for draw length. There's no draw stops. There's no let off adjustment.
Yeah.
So this was, in this case, I needed to untwist the cable pulling on his bottom cam so it wouldn't pull faster or harder than his top cam was pulling.
Right.
So if it's a knock high vertical tear, it's going to tell you that your top cam is not in time. If it's a knock low tear, it's going to tell you that your bottom cam is not in time.
Yeah.
Now, granted, if it was like a quarter of an inch tear, different story. That right. could be a rest issue. It
could be, the wrong spot.
It could be arrow spine.
Yeah.
So long tear, big tear, normally not the arrow, normally not something that you're going to adjust on the rest. And that should be the first thing. So that keep that in mind, that if you're not at a bow shop and you don't have a bow press and you have a bow that does not have adjustable draw stops or let off or anything to that nature, that tells you you have to twist your cables or untwist your cables.
And that's kind of part of spec, right? That's manufacturer spec. It should be timed perfectly.
Right.
So getting back to manufacturer spec, if everything is in spec, it should be timed properly. And you should be shooting right around 13/16 off the rise.
And so what I think happened in this case, because a switch similar to like a Bear Legit, the Elite Basin, those are super adjustable bows. It's like, you know, like a starter bow.
Yeah.
So a lot of times it'll come in spec, but they're specced or timed at 29-inch draw.
Right.
So now you're starting to play with draw length and you're moving that mod.
Yep.
So that's what I think it was in the shop that sold it to him, just never checked it again.
Right.
So then now we're going to go back to arrows. So your bow's in time, you're shooting your center shot, everything's in spec according to what was in your book. And now you're getting high, low tear, left, right tear.
Yeah.
Now it becomes an arrow issue to look at anyway, because there's other things that we could cause left, right. But we're going to talk about arrows first.
And the one thing I do want to say is, you know, we talked about spine, and you're talking about checking out the chart. If you're borderline, I've always found it, you know, better to go a little stiffer.
Yeah.
You know, so if you're borderline 400, 350, I go to 350.
Mm-hmm.
That's always what I've done.
Yeah.
You know, so you're better off to be a little stiffer than weak.
Right.
So.
And of course, it's going to obviously be, number one, your draw length. Number two, your draw weight. So my golden rule, what I do, depending on the bow and what you're using it for. So like, for instance, my target bow, I shoot 65 pounds. I shoot a 375 spine in a target arrow.
Yeah.
But you also have to realize a target spine and a hunting spine are completely different because the tips are different. You're not putting an insert into a target arrow. Normally, it's a glue-in tip.
Yeah.
So it changes depending on the arrow as well. But like Doug said, if you're borderline, go stiffer.
Yeah.
And the way I look, my kind of golden rule is 50 and below draw weight. So down to, you know, let's say 30, 500 spine. 50 to like 62-ish. 400, you could probably get away with 400. There are certain 60-pound bows that don't like a real flimsy arrow. and you can go to a 340 or 350. So I say 340 because Easton doesn't do a 350.
Yeah.
But then, like, we just tuned a bow, an 80-pound Athens, and that's a 250 spine.
Yeah.
Because of his draw length. If it was a shorter draw length, he can get away with 300.
Right.
But he's a longer draw, so he needs 250. So, the chart is there to just kind of give you a direction. Okay, this is where I should fall in. And then now, you know, a shop should have arrows kind of pre-built. They might not be the right length, but at least have a 340, a 400, the common spine, something built that you can test.
Right.
And again, obviously, I'm not going to stick a 29-inch arrow in somebody that's 26 inches, yeah. But, you know, we have the right idea. So that's kind of part two-ish. So you're shooting the bow.
Yeah.
You're at spec. The bow's in time. Doug's choking over here. So you're in spec. Now you've selected the right arrow.
Yeah.
Now Doug, like he said before, you have to think about grain weight. So if you're shooting a 340 at 65 pounds and you throw 125 grains broadhead or a field tip in there, but also put in a 75 grain brass tip.
Yep.
Well, you kind of just messed everything up for yourself because it's not going to tune because it's overstiff.
Right.
So again, that end game, as Doug said, is figure out, okay, I want to be around this grain weight and it's a hunting bow. So you're going to be a 6.5, 6 millimeter, 5 millimeter, 4 millimeter arrow. And you have to really pay attention to that grains per inch.
Yeah.
So you may be able to shoot, I'm going to use a perfect example. So an Ultra Centrum Premium is 8.3 grains, I believe it is.
Okay.
If you go to the same diameter arrow from Easton, they're 9.6.
Okay.
So there's a pretty big jump,
sure,
in grain weight.
On a 30-inch arrow.
Right.
That's 30 grains.
Mm-hmm. And so depending, are you using, let's first say instance, hybrid 26s from AAE, those weigh 18.2 for three of them.
Right.
If you do a boning blazer vane, you might only be 12 grains there.
Right.
So that all comes into play. And the problem I have, and I think we've talked about it once before, is yes, we want FOC in our arrow. Do we need 1,000 grains to do it? The FOC you want there to help the arrow pull through a live animal on a hunt.
Yeah.
You don't need to have crazy FOC if you're shooting paper and foam.
No.
So things to think about. So like I just built my new target arrows yesterday. They're for 3D only. They weigh 352 grains. I'm pretty much right at the exact line where I need to be. Safe weight, and then I just have to speed check them because we are speed checked in competition. We can't shoot over a certain speed. So I use an adjustable tip. So if it's too fast, I basically add more weight to the tip of the arrow and it slows it down.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
I really don't want to have to turn my bow down.
But no, that's, you know, the arrow itself is one of the items that requires the most thought.
Yeah.
You know, the bow is the easy part.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you pick your bow off the rack and okay, that's the one I want. That's done. But the arrow is what really is going to require all the tweaking and thinking about, you know, your end game. So, and I don't think shops put enough thought into their arrows.
Nope.
The guys just, shoot those, take them off the thing, they throw them on the saw, they cut them down to size and that's it. It's done. And, you know, there's a lot more to it. And I think that they really should pay a little more attention to that because it's really important.
Yep.
So.
And I mean, Doug knows, I mean, we obviously sell boxed arrows at the shop and that's the arrows I sell to the guy that comes in. I need a 400 spine arrow, you know, this length. Okay. But the serious guys, we build the arrows there.
Yeah.
And I have a calculator on the bench and it's like, okay, you want to be at what grain? Okay, so we're going to 18.2 for veins, 6 grains or 9 grains or 50 grains, depending on the insert, whatever it is. Okay, oh, I want a collar on it. Okay, that's another 3 grains.
Right.
We're adding it all up before I even put glue on a certain thing.
Yeah.
That way I could say, well, okay, so we're going to be right here with this build.
Right. Are you good with that?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know,
you want to cut a little bit of weight.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's cut, you know, let's not wrap it. Let's take the collar off.
Right.
And, you know, a wrap is usually somewhere between almost 16 and 20 grains, depending on what it is.
Yeah.
What size the arrow is and whether it's a 4-inch or 6-inch wrap.
Yep.
So that's a lot of weight in the back of an arrow.
Yeah.
So that obviously is going to take away from FOC. And, but there are certain customers who are like, hey, I want a wrap because I want to be able to see it.
Sure.
Okay. I get that. So we need to change something up front so that we still have a little bit of FOC and not just giving you, you know, a straight piece of carbon to shoot out of your bow.
Yeah. And I, you know, I think getting back to spining up, like if you're on the border, mm-hmm. you want to go a little stiffer because I think it's easier. If you have an arrow that's a little too stiff, mm-hmm. I believe it's easier to kind of work your components to get to that point where now you're in the right range. Now you're shooting the right spine.
Right.
You know, if you add some more weight to it, mm-hmm. you can build that arrow up so that that spine is correct now, as opposed to going the opposite direction.
Right.
If you're underspined, now it's harder to strip that arrow down to get into that lower.
Right.
Spine. Mm. So that's why I always like to go a little heavier. A little stiffer because you can always add some more weight to your arrow to get up to that, you know, that ideal spine. So right. it's easier to go up than it is to go down.
Yep.
You can just keep adding components as opposed to stripping it down. There's only so many things you can strip off the arrow.
Right.
So it's easier to add weight to it to kind of get back up into the right spine. So.
And then the key obviously for the arrow before we're done for today is when you go to tune it, try bare shaft tuning it first, because if you can bare shaft and tune it correctly, when you add your vanes, the vane is just there to steer the arrow.
Yeah.
And the reason I say that is because once you put a broadhead on the end of that arrow, everything changes as far as point of aim, point of impact. Where if your arrow is straight already coming out of your bow, now, yeah, might it still move a little bit depending on the broadhead you're using? Sure. But you'll have less of a, holy crap, I'm 9 inches right with my broadhead.
Yeah.
You know, it's not hitting anywhere near my field tip.
Yeah.
So a bare shaft tuned bow will shoot a broadhead much better than if you're tuning it with vanes constantly.
No doubt. Well, the vanes, you know, the vanes are masking some of the issues with the tune.
Sure, because it's
that's their job.
Right.
That's why they're there. So if it's shooting perfectly without vanes, now that's just going to add even more stability once you get out there to 40, 50, 60 yards. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I shoot bare shafts at 20 yards, and if I'm shooting bullet holes at 20 yards, I know that I'm good.
Right.
So that's really, and then we'll get into that next week, mm-hmm. you know, more of like the arrow and the components and stuff.
Yep.
That'll be like part three of the tuning. But yeah, bare shaft is absolutely important. Absolutely.
100%.
Yep.
Well, we appreciate you guys tuning in. We're going to call it a wrap.
Yep.
And we'll be back next Sunday, the 28th.
Yep.
And I'm sure we said before, we'll have more on Archery Fest at Montage. And for those of you that haven't figured it out yet, head on over montagemountainresorts.com/archery. Click on the register now button. It'll take you right to the ticket page. We would love to see you up at the mountain. And until next time, we will talk to you soon.
Yep. See you.